T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Oh, what a beautiful day to live in Wisconsin, thank God. I don't mind saying this into the ground. Thank God there's a roof at Miller Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's been 15 years, and I know it's said every time there's bad weather, but it should be said every time there's bad weather. Thank God there's a roof at Miller Park.
Well, some of these teams should be calling Milwaukee to see if they can make up some of these games here, like Minnesota, the Twins.
Yeah, they should have hosted a series this weekend.
Yeah, they should have came down here and played the
what the hell?
The White Sox. Was it the White Sox who were up there? Was it the White Sox and Twins? I think it was the White Sox that were canceled. Saturday. They should have came down here and played.
Yeah, weather took 3 or 4 in that series.
Yeah,
we're joined by Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, Brewers.com, MLB.com. It was nice in New York to start, and then weather got kind of rough there too, Adam.
Yeah, by Saturday game time, it was frigid. But got the game in yesterday. It rained all night. I'm still there. I'm heading to the airport now. And it is like a pouring rain here. So
well, it's pouring snow here, so good luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Stay hot. Look, one of you guys is sitting at a computer. How many games have the Twins played? Have they played 10 games?
The Twins have a record of 7-4, 11.
And how many of the Brewers have played? What?
16.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to come back around. I mean, that's going to be a challenge for some of these clubs that have missed games early. You've got to play them, and it's going to mean doubleheaders. They're going to lose off days in the middle of the season. Now, this season they have extra off days baked in. That's why we had that weird Thursday start. But it's going to be a challenge for those pitching staffs, and I guess you know, you chalk it up to the things the Brewers are fortunate so far. I think they're, Ryan Braun said on that last homestand, they're fortunate to have the record that they do. I think they're also fortunate to have gotten in the games they've gotten in and not have to deal with that, partly because of the roof.
Okay, what can be done in baseball, if anything, maybe in the next collective bargaining agreement? I don't know. I mean, because these players do not want to play in 35-degree temperatures. I don't think it's good for baseball to be playing in that. It's just, you're not going to see great ball at all. And the fans certainly don't want to sit through that. What could be done?
Well, the argument is always that you want it to be a fair and equal schedule. And if you have the Brewers and Angels and Padres and Dodgers and Astros and Rays playing a ton of home games early and then theoretically a ton of road games late, it creates some competitive imbalances. That's like the theoretical argument. I don't know that many of the players involved would really go for that. I think they would rather just play the games, and I'm not sure. I mean, teams are better at home, so it's not a non-factor. But I think most of the players, if you polled them, would stack a lot of as many of these games in domes and warm weather venues as we can early, especially very early, the first 2 weeks of the season. And then do the best we can to even it out after that.
Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Brewers do get all their games in over the weekend. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Mets. I saw that there was a lot of discussion Saturday night over pulling Chase Anderson after 87 pitches. Now, it was the 7th inning, and the Brewers, won the game. Jeffress got in, gave up a hit, but then the double play. Hader, a great 2 innings of work from him. I don't know if I'm as... I don't really understand. I mean, I don't understand why there's so much, anger. Chase threw 87 pitches. He was going fine, but he got you to the 7th inning. take him out and let your bullpen do the work. But there seem to be a lot of people upset that Chase should have been able to finish that inning, I guess.
Well, instead of me talking, not to stereotype your fine partner there, but Chuck, what do you think about this?
No, I just think that he needs to have his innings limited early in the season, too. Now you're going to tax the bullpen. I always like to say don't ruin a good thing with the relievers, but I was okay with him coming out of the game and turning it over to the bullpen. You looked like you had a comfortable lead at that point, and you know the Mets weren't doing anything offensively anyway.
Because it was a seventh inning. Well, he would have thrown one or two more balls that got fouled off or one or two more balls, he's up to 91, 92 pitches. I just think that for whatever reason, 87 looks so much less than 92.
Well, I shouldn't stereotype Chuck because I thought he was going to be in the mold of, let your starter go as long as you possibly can. And that's the barrier here, is the barrier between the thinking of your starter needs to give you as much as he can and trust your starter. That's like the way we've always thought about starting pitching. That is not the way these teams that are driven by analytics think about starting pitching. It all for them, and you hear counsel, and you heard it in this instance. They work backwards from the end of the game, and they say, what is the point at which I can line up relief outs to get me to the third out of the ninth inning? And that's how they make the decision of when they move their starter. And it's going to happen earlier. If it irritates you, you're going to be irritated by this team this year because they are one of the clubs, and this happened last year in a lot of instances for Anderson and Davies in particular, it seems, they are going to go to the pen as early as they can because the data says that is a better way to get outs and win baseball games. That gives you a better chance of holding the lead you've got than this old mentality of trust your starter. Now, what's the effect on starting, how does that affect the mindset of your starter, the confidence of your starter, that he's no longer given these opportunities that a guy in his position used to be given? Now, I don't know. I don't know that we're ever going to reverse this unless some club just goes totally old school. Unless you're Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, David Price, that is not the way you're going to be handled as a starting pitcher.
I've been talking about a conversation that Council had with you. It was in the dugout a couple weeks ago. You guys were talking more about the bullpen and the initial outgetters and stuff like that. Now, me being who I am, I've been saying that I had a conversation with Craig before I finally admitted I was just eavesdropping on you and Council. But he seemed to... I got the impression that if the Brewers were in the American League and they didn't have to worry about the pitching spot coming up, there would be these guys getting 2-3 innings consistently like a team like the Astros did, especially in the playoffs. And one thing that Council said was just because it's always been done a certain way doesn't mean you have to keep doing it a certain way. And so I was not surprised, maybe because I had heard that conversation with you and Craig, and I know how important he thinks the bullpen is, so I wasn't surprised to see Chase out after 87.
Yeah, and look, it's a different way of doing it. It's a different way of thinking about what starting pitching is and what the bullpen is, and this is the way they're going to do it. It's like, in the playoffs you can do this easily because you play two games travel day. Or two, three games, you know what I mean. You play a couple of games and then there's a day off, and it's a lot easier. Your starter goes four, and then you piece together bullpen from there, and you're great. In a regular season, you can't do that because there's just too many games. And even if you have guys with options in the pen and you're up and down, you still need some innings from your initial outgetters. But it's like, which team can tightrope, can walk that tightrope the closest is going to be the team that maybe has the most success. In other words, the team that can put together a good bullpen, number one, because let's not forget that that's key to this, is having good options out there. And who can get to them the earliest, keep them healthy and effective, and not burn them out. that's the team that's going to probably have a good pitching staff. See, unless you're a team that has just a bunch of really good starting pitchers, and then you're not thinking about it this way. The Brewers Chase Anderson is fantastic over the last, going on two seasons now. Beyond that, they're cobbling together a starting rotation a different way.
Yeah, the problem with Chase later in the season, if that's a 2-1 game, I want Chase continuing to go out there and break them.
I think that's August, maybe it's different.
Yeah, and the weather's better and all that. But as a result of him only pitching in 7, he had to cover Hader 2 innings, which I'm fine with, but you're not going to have him the next day then.
Yeah, which is another real tightrope that they're walking. Is how much and how often can they use Hader? Because you guys probably saw some of the numbers I shared yesterday, and our friend Mike Vassallo Josh Hader was fifth in the National League in strikeouts before Syndergaard took them on yesterday and passed them in less than 10 innings. It's sort of insane fun with numbers at this point. It's probably not sustainable at this rate, but look, they're not going to change this. They're not going to make him a starter. They're not going to make him the closer right now. If you're pining for one of those things again, you're going to be disappointed. They want him in this super flexible multi-inning role where they can use him as a weapon at the right spot in the lineup for multi-innings. And I think that's exactly what they're going to continue to do.
All right, a couple of injury notes here. And by the way, the thing I started, Syndergaard, I was happy to see him go because I was watching his pitch count the whole game. And, he was pitching so good, but he ran into a high pitch count. And they weren't going to pitch him past 100 pitches yesterday. So when he hit the Aguilar and they got him out of there. But, the old school way of thinking, many years ago would have been he's going to pitch through the sixth inning. We're not going to pull him just yet. So, but anyway, as far as injuries, what's going on with Braun? What's going on with Thames?
And Yelich.
Yelich, too.
Day to day is the word of the three words of the day. All those guys are sort of imminently ready to return. And the question is how long they can keep going with so many guys in this day-to-day status. Pena is really close.
Another guy.
Ryan Braun obviously pinch hit yesterday, so he was available. Yelich, could have come off the DL Sunday, again, if it were later in the season. So he's really close. And then I don't know exactly about Eric Thames. We'll need more information today. So none of these things are serious. They're just all happening at the same time, and it left Craig Counsell in a bad position yesterday where he had to bat his pitcher in a run-scoring opportunity in the fifth inning of a game against Noah Syndergaard, and it looked weird. That's the kindest way you can put it, I think. So they said they need to just make maybe some more permanent decisions with at least one of these guys just to get a healthy bat up. We'll see if they do that or whether, say, Pena and Ryan Braun are back in the lineup today. They're just going to have to make a call on that because going with four guys in sort of day-to-day status is not feasible.
Is it possible Broxton could get called up here?
Possible, yeah. He's been great. If it's a DL thing, you could also bring back Phillips because he's replacing a guy who's injured, so he wouldn't have to follow the rule where you have to stay in the minors for 10 days.
Okay.
So we'll see. Or it might just be they're confident that these guys are ready to come back soon, and you don't need to make a move, and you get your main guys back for a homestand against a couple of teams you should beat.
Yeah. I feel Counsell has no confidence in Chacin these days. He was lucky to get up through 4 innings, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that. He's definitely a guy that they're making these early calls of the pen to, and they're not going to push him past. At this point, they're not going to push him far past twice through the order. The slider has been a lot better. Chacin seems pretty confident in the pitch, that's his pitch. And if he has confidence in that and can throw that, he's going to be better. I think he's going to be better. He says he's a slow starter. The numbers aren't that bad in his career in April, but he says April is never good for him. And look, it's a 2-year deal, so he's going to get opportunities.
Safe travels back, bud. Hopefully you're here by first pitch.
All right, see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll see. If I'm not, write something for Brewers.com.
Oh, sure.
Oh, give me the passwords. We're good.
I was almost late today, so if that ever happens, you can come in and
we'll co-pen something.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to come back and do MLB Network at that show starts at 1. I land 15 minutes before 12:45. I land, theoretically.
No, it's not happening.
Well, we can fill in for
we'll
that.
We'll do that.
We can do that,
we'll
too.
Go to the park and do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Are you on with Russo?
The article. Hell with the article. We'll do the TV stuff for you.
What's that?
All right. you two knuckleheads standing there on camera would be great.
Oh, with Russo, with that guy? Are you going to be on with
Russo? No, it's later. It's the
Mad
show,
Dog?
The Rundown.
Oh, I'd love
Rundown
to be on Mad Dog.
Show after that, yeah.
In the Rundown with our boy from the Facebook game?
Who?
Braun? Yeah, Scott Braun?
Yep.
Oh, is that who does it? Scott Braun.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he name-dropped the fan during the Facebook broadcast. We're tight now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember. Yes, I heard about
that. Yeah, I kind of begged him to do it.
Yeah, well, you can meet him face-to-face.
All right, so we'd be at the park at 1.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Got to take a shower first.
Yeah. All right. Adam, we'll see you. Good luck.
Got to put those good clothes on.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.